When I read the readings for today, I thought, really? Not joyful, is it? And at that moment, I was taught a salutary lesson. And that sometimes we do have to be serious and listen very carefully about what God is saying to us, even though we might not want to hear it or understand it. So let's look at the gospel to start with. Jesus had come into Jerusalem in triumph, okay? He'd been into this temple, he'd cleansed it, and he was now on his way out of the temple. He would not come into this building again because fairly soon he was going to die on the cross. That's where Jesus was. His disciples were in a different place. They were in this building where they felt comfortable. They were in this building where their inherent faith was, where they knew what was happening and what was going on. And they were admiring the building. They were admiring this earthly building. And this building was big. It was impressive. And some of these stones, as Josephus tells us, were about 33 feet by 15 feet by 9. Now that's big. That's big. And what Jesus was saying, that all these stones, big and small, were going to fall to the ground. Really? Come on, it's beautiful. Who wants to destroy that? And the destruction of the temple really, really brought into my mind, the building, Jesus, the comfort of a faith, the new faith, and the Pharisees and Sadducees and leaders of the temple were not going to let go. They're not going to let go. Jesus was not going to let go either. Now, in 40 years after this was reported, the temple had been destroyed. 10 years after Luke wrote his gospel, that temple was razed to the ground. So it's in living memory, okay? And why it was razed to the ground was because the head man at the temple decided to execute James, the leader of the church. Didn't go down too well. Anyway, there was an insurrection. Romans didn't like it. Came, destroyed the temple, and every soul, man, woman, child in Jerusalem was destroyed. Now, at the time that this passage was written, the leaders of the temple knew they wanted to rid themselves of Jesus, the leader of the new religion. And very soon they thought they'd been successful by putting him on the cross. Little did they know. Thank you, God. Now, the rest of this reading from Luke, I'm not going to skip over it because it is important, but it tells of death, destruction, wars, pestilence, earthquakes. I don't have to tell you all those things. You can just watch the news tonight and you can see it and think about weeping. Because what Jesus, he's got a bit of a dichotomy going here, because the disciples asked him when this was all going to take place. Now, Jesus didn't know when the end times are going to take place. And the disciples are getting mixed up with the destruction of the temple and the end times. Two different things. Okay. Jesus did not know when the end times were coming, but he knew what was going to happen in the meantime. And he's preparing us to acknowledge that this is what is expected. So he's preparing us in one way, but in another way, when he says that we will be taken to court and we will be asked to speak, he tells us to be unprepared, to rely totally and utterly on him, on his Holy Spirit to come in and give the words to us. Give us the words. And it's not until we come to the end of this passage that there's some hope. Bit dismal, isn't it, really? Well, I thought it was. But how true? How true? Now, what Jesus is asking us to do is to take note of what's happening. To be watchful, to be discerning, to understand what he's told us, take that on board. But, always asking for us to be jubilant. We've just sung lots of words about being jubilant. And we need to be jubilant even if our circumstances and what we see are not what we'd like to hear and see. I'm not saying that's easy, by the way. I'm just saying we need to keep our eyes and our ears on God. And when we turn to the reading from Thessalonians, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He wasn't allowed, well, he could have gone to Thessalonica. Thank you. But he'd have been killed, because they were like that then. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And I think some of those people in Thessalonians actually thought, oh my word, the temple has been destroyed. And it's, we're going to take to our beds because we can't do anything. Oh, and we're going to be, just wait for the end times to come. Paul is saying to them, as he's saying to us, yeah, we're coming in. We're in the end times. We don't know when Jesus is going to come again. Come again, he will, because he's promised it. What he's saying is that we are not to be idle. We are to imitate Paul and keep going, working, spreading the gospel, being a mission, as Paul has imitated Christ. Now let's just flip back to Luke. Christ knows he's going to the cross, okay? He knows that. Did he just sit back and think, oh dear, I'm just going to go there and I can't do much about it, so I'm just going to sit back and do anything. I'm not going to do anything. No, he didn't. He kept on preaching the love. He kept on preaching. He kept on healing. He kept on teaching. He kept on loving. He kept on praying. And we are asked to be all those things too. We are asked to be discerning and watchful, yet jubilant and confident, but always, always, always praying. Prayer works. In the most fundamental, small, huge ways. It's amazing. And we need to hear more of answers to prayer because they are there. We need to hear more. Now, I'm going to go off piste here. It's interesting, isn't it, when we're faced with adversity and there are opportunities for taking to our beds, metaphorically. So I'm just going to say a few things here. Recently we've had a ministry team meeting, and I don't know if you know, but three of us in the ministry team are all fairly strong characters. And that could have given quite a lot of opportunity for things to go wrong. Yeah? we took, the staff team took the decision to love one another, to be patient with one another. And we then discussed and realised that the decisions that we'd had to make, and do you know what? I would not be a vicar for anybody's tea in China with some of the decisions we've had to make. And we are all very different, but we've come to that place where we listen to each other. We do not give nor take offence. And in those decisions where we expected to find dissension, shall we say, with prayer, it did not happen. It melted away. Thank you, God. Now, as you know, I think I said it was Safeguarding Sunday. Did I say that? I did, thank you. I'm not going to make reference to any cases. All I'm going to say is that I am a sinner. And I will be judged, as everybody else here is going to be judged. Any safeguarding case? You know, we're in this world, but we are not of it. And even though society will judge differently, we are not here to judge. We are here to encourage repentance and forgiveness. Okay. I'm just going to tell you about my experiences with the safeguarding courses. I learned a lot. And it's part of our duty to learn a lot. It's part of our duty so that if we learn and understand, we can love. It's part of our loving each other. Okay? I must admit, I did find one of the courses troublesome. I was very angry at the Anglican Church. We were called to do a reflection at the end of this course. It took me 2 weeks to calm down. I'm not sure if I have forgotten. No, I haven't forgotten. And I'm not quite sure how long away down the road of forgiveness I am to forgive the Anglican Church, okay? Am I going to be struck off now? But forgive, I must. And I can only do that in God's strength, not my own. And we can all learn. We can all learn so much. The domestic abuse course. It's very salutary. I have a little part-time job and I had to do their domestic abuse course as well. It's a housing association, and they have an unfortunately very busy and large domestic abuse team because it is so prevalent. Now, this, what I'm now going to say, was not taught in the Anglican Church course, but it was taught in the course that I had to take willingly. And we need to know these things because we need to be alive to what's going on around us, not to interfere, but to keep aware of what's going on. And I'm going to say faithful to the story here. So in a domestic abuse situation, the man will quite frequently, quite often, buy his partner a dog. Well, I thought, well, that's nice. He buys the dog because he knows his partner will not leave the dog behind because she cannot take the dog into a woman's refuge. How cynical is that? How cynical. So we do have to understand things, and we do have to take salutary lessons onto our shoulders to learn, to understand, and to be aware of what's going on around us in this very, very sick world. I'm not going to finish on that note because it's not right. Okay. I'm going to go back to the gospel, because we've heard and read of really grim stuff. But let's read that last sentence again in the passage from Luke. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. So by our taking of Jesus as our example about what to do and what to say, opening our eyes about what's happening, but always keeping our focus on Christ and being jubilant and joyful in all situations. I'm ending on a high note because that's what Jesus did, ended on a high note. And when it says the temple will be demolished and will be resurrected in 3 days, that's later on in this particular chapter, we know that the temple authorities did not destroy Jesus. It's a metaphor. Jesus rose again after 3 days, the resurrection. So the old faith, the symbol of the old faith, the temple had been destroyed. Jesus resurrected from the dead, and then we have the new faith, the burgeoning of the new faith at Pentecost, the birth of the new church. So we're being called to imitate Christ. And we're also being acknowledged that the only way we can do that sometimes is in God's strength, not in our own. So as we go out this week, let's always listen to Christ, see what he's speaking with us. And take time to be watchful. Take time to be joyous. But always, always pray. Amen.